Welcome to New American Radio, a series exploring new territories for the art of radio.
In its 10 years as a weekly national series from 1987 to 1998, New American Radio commissioned and distributed over 300 original works. Conceptual new drama, associational documentary, language explorations, sonic meditations, environmental compositions, musical explorations, and works that pioneer new dimensions in acoustic space. Wave Farm is thrilled to partner with New American Radio to ensure these works remain available to listeners today and into the future. New American Radio was organized by Helen Thorington, executive producer, and Regina Beyer, associate producer. A special thanks to both Helen Thorington and Joanne Green for their generous support and collaboration in this partnership. Up next is Dreaming of Fat Man by Lorelei Harris. Thank you for listening.
Welcome to New American Radio, a series exploring new territories for the art of radio. I'm Valerie Smaldone. This New American Radio program is an invitation to a lively dinner party in progress at RTE Radio 1 in Dublin, Ireland. The guests of honor are Susan, who is a singer, Maureen, a healthcare worker, Claire, who runs a modeling agency, and Maeve, who is in the security business. They are gregarious, funny, eloquent, and obese. Not a little overweight or pleasantly plump or well-rounded or anything like that. They are very, very big, and they come together in this recording studio to feast and to talk about their relationship to food. So please, help yourself to some lobster and champagne and join us for Dreaming of Fat Men by Lorelei Harris.
Wow.
Shall we drink to abundance?
Mm. Yes. To abundance.
Where do we start?
Where to start, exactly.
Prawns, perhaps?
There's just so much to take in.
Taste.
Oh, it's lovely. It's... I'm not fruity? Sure.
Is it fruity?
I think it's...
Chutney?
Raspberry-ish.
Would you like to try some of this?
No, I don't think I will. Thank you very
Is
much.
Is anyone experiencing any there guilt you. Yet?
No.
I'm sorry, I don't experience guilt when I'm eating.
No.
Not really. Do you all diet?
I used to.
Well, I've tried lots of different diets.
I haven't ever willingly dieted. I dieted when my mother was alive, or when I was a teenager, when my mother was alive, because she wanted me to. But ever since she died, no diets.
Well, I remember my first diet was for $200 and a new wardrobe. That's what
so
was offered to me.
Mm-hmm.
That my father said, yes, I'll give you that. All the new clothes that you need to fill your wardrobe, and $200.
And did you get it?
No, I didn't. I wasn't successful. No, I just... In
Will
fact, I think I resented it.
We'll drink to that, I tell you.
Absolutely.
Cheers.
I'm currently dieting and still loving every solitary minute of this.
Well, that must be... I mean, it's interesting for me to see somebody as gorgeous as you suddenly saying you are now dieting. And
food is a good thing. Food is not a negative thing. It's a very good thing.
So when did you discover this? I mean, when did you decide to go on a diet?
I don't think I decided. Health-wise, it was decided for me that I needed to lose weight.
Now, that is the only angle that I
That is the only angle. I don't think I'd ever... I've tried umpteen diets. Mm. I've got a bookshelf at home and there's literally like a full row. Yeah. You know,
I
right
would like to fit
your,
in better into what people consider the normal woman or the normal scene. For example, I won't go to a disco or a nightclub. I'd feel an awful lot more comfortable going to places like your old waltzes or your old tea dances because the women there are more my size and my shape and therefore I'm more acceptable. Whereas when I go to a disco or a nightclub, I'm putting myself up in comparison to these other women who are all tall, leggy, perfectly proportioned, and that makes me feel bad about myself. I feel frumpy, I feel awkward, I feel terribly self-conscious that people are watching me or looking at me as some kind of a freak. It's not something I enjoy doing, even though, and this is the farce of the whole situation, I love the music, I love the beat, I love to dance, and I love to dance disco as much as any other form of dance. But when I get there, I'm too conscious of myself to do it. So therefore, the whole thing doesn't work out as a good experience at all.
Change your doctor. You know, that a lot of doctors trot out this business about you're too fat and if you lost weight it would be fine, just as a sort of panacea or a placebo.
Right. No, I'm awaiting an operation at the moment whereby they have to go in through my tummy, and there's no way they could physically do it at the weight that I was. So
right.
It really was medical reasons that forced me to
but
do
I
so.
But I think on the whole it's really important to be very careful. I mean, I'm sure in your case it's right, but I think it's very important to be really careful about that stuff, because a lot of the time it's just offered as
an easy answer, isn't it? Mm-hmm. There's somebody sitting in front of you, I'm not feeling well, what's the obvious thing? You know, your eyes are crossed, that's why.
But also it demonises fat people,
absolutely,
particularly fat women, and it becomes all your own fault. The trend in healthcare at the moment is that it's all your own fault. We're not going to do this operation because you smoke, we're not going to do this operation because you're fat, whatever it happens to be, so that it completely takes the onus of healthcare and into the whole business of it being your fault.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I like somebody always to be at my elbow filling that glass.
Filling the glass. I like them a little lower.
Yeah. Well, you know, whether at my elbow, they are lower.
Well, what about men? I mean, do you find that... Let me just tell you this little story. When I was in New York, when I was living in New York, I was chased down the street by a man who caught up with me, and he was persistent enough to ask me to get a yes from me when he asked me to lunch. Only later did I find out that he was a chubby chaser. He only liked fat women, big women, voluptuous women, Rubenesque women, Juno-esque women, whatever you want to call it, bigger than the normal woman, mm-hmm. you know, your
Juno-esque,
normal, what is it?
Like
Juno-esque.
That.
Now, that really got me angry, and I was humiliated. Now, I have a funny thing about this. What I want in a man is, I want a man who is attracted to thinner women, but who chooses me over those thin women. Mm. I want him to pass that test. I put that test for him, and I say, to me, if he just wants a fat woman or a big woman, well, that's not what I want. I want someone who, in spite of my bulk, of my size, wants me, looks beyond that. To me, it's like the ultimate test.
Yeah. Some men who are very shallow like to be seen with very, very thin women, but they like to go to bed with big women.
Mm. Why do you think that is?
It's warmth, it's sexuality, it's sensuality. It's a feeling of, you know, somebody is there, you know.
I think it's that we try harder.
I think that's right.
I wouldn't know.
Yeah. And I also think that we've actually stopped eating to talk about sex, and that says something very interesting. I have to say I'm celibate, and I've been celibate for nearly 7 years now. And I have this sense, although it's actually very good for me, and maybe now I've had enough of it as well, but it has been very good for me. But I have a sense that I possibly wouldn't have been celibate for that long if I hadn't been fat. I think that possibly I would have chosen to end my celibacy quicker and all that kind of stuff. Until, you know, I needed all that time to come to terms, maybe with all the issues that were going on in my life.
No,
but I also know that I wouldn't have had the space and time to do that if I had been more conventionally attractive. Mm. There's something about that still isn't sorted.
Do you
still
not
isn't
think
sus.
Because if there was...
My mother was also a fat woman, and she had a lot of problems with that. And on one particular occasion, I had a friend staying the night, and we were messing around in the bedroom in the morning and refusing to get up and being giddy like 11 or 12-year-old girls tend to be, and being ridiculous and stupid and all of that. And my mother came into the room, and she was furiously angry. She was wearing a vest and one of these old-fashioned corsets, a sort of bright pink thing that started under her bust and finished sort of halfway down her thighs and so on, and was very ugly. I remember distinctly it was soiled at the back as well, and it was just, there was something very sordid about how she looked, and she started walloping me.
And as she walloped me with every blow, she said, "You are fat and ugly and disgusting. You are fat and ugly and disgusting." And this went on and on and on and was a total nightmare. And we were all completely hysterical, including my friend, who kept saying, "But Mrs. Gilbert, Mrs. Gilbert, you can't do this to Maureen. She's your daughter. You're supposed to love her. You can't do this." Because none of this went on in her house. And through all this mayhem and hysteria, I remember being able to think, she's doing this because she hates herself.
Everyone have enough to drink?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Big women, I find that they're much softer and much more vulnerable, and I think that's part of the reason why, well, for me at least, speaking for myself, why I get bigger. First of all, I think it's a power thing to be more powerful Absolutely. As my mother. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's an old battle, I think, mothers and daughters.
I'm starting to like you here.
She's giving us more reasons.
I'm more than just a pretty face, Claire.
Obviously, Mama had a big hand in this, big being the operative word.
Yes.
Yes, yeah. And now you see, I can associate with that very much. I would claim that I have got bigger down through the years because my mother constantly wanted me to be smaller or constantly told people, you know, if somebody came up and said, "Gosh, isn't your daughter lovely?" "Yes, but you haven't seen her cousin and she's only size 10.
Well, I cannot blame my mother because my mother has even used to say in the last couple of years, "Well, sure, a woman in business has to be big. You have to be noticed." So
there
I've
you
never...
go, you're associating that with power. Now, that's something I feel I do too. Now, a man, if a man is fat, let's just use the word fat. If a man is fat, he's not called fat. He's called big. He's called powerful. He's called solid. Mm-hmm. A woman is called fat, weak-willed.
Frumpy. Let's get into the dirty ones.
Yeah, slobbish.
But also, nobody's dare call me this.
Not to
but
your
also
face.
That sense of
not
being engulfing.
Face.
I think men are there are some men who are very frightened of being engulfed. There are other men who long to be engulfed.
There's hundreds of men who are intimidated by us, grossly intimidated by
poor
us.
Poor them. God help them.
Yeah.
Too bad. Tough.
I have to say that anyone I have ever been with, it has never been a problem. Do you know what I mean? It has never affected.
Has it never been a problem for them, but a problem for you? Do you apologise for yourself? Do you try too hard because of it?
No.
You don't? Oh,
no.
I do.
No.
I've never had a problem with the men I've ended up with.
That's what I'm saying.
No, but I'd have a huge problem with men in general. Because I find, because I work for myself and I work in business, I find a lot of men look at me as one of the boys. I'm not actually looked at as a woman.
I
feel 100%
well,
of.
Are you saying
for a moment.
Sorry, I'm sorry. I was just wondering if Claire was saying that because of her size or because
of purely because
of
my
size.
No, purely because of my size.
They look at you as one of the boys because of your size.
Yeah.
You're not a sexual object to them.
Not a sexual object,
but is it important to be sexual to everybody you meet? I don't know if it is. I think it
yes,
is.
Maureen,
it's important to be respected as a woman.
It is.
There are two sexes there. There are. There are men and there are women. And it's nice to be appreciated and respected for what it is you are. And I am a woman. Each one of us are a woman. And it's nice to be respected as that.
I think they respect me as a woman. Just because they don't want to me doesn't mean one way or the other.
Right. What type of man goes to you? Because I have a problem. And I have discussed this long and into the dark hours of the night with some of my mutual friends.
You've got time. Go on.
Right. Why is it little men like me?
I often wonder how men actually see me. If I'm going into a crowd, a room or a party or a dinner or whatever, where people don't know me, there's always a dwarf in the room who's male, who sees me and his eyes light up. And I am always nervous of these people because I mean, my God, he's going to be sitting on my knee next, whispering into my ear. I just start beating him off with a look. They invariably end up by talking to me. Whereas I want the tall one to talk to me. I want the one, because, you know, inside me there's a little woman wanting to be protected at all times. if a male gives out the thing of "you're my little woman," that's him in, right? I will look after him forever. But who really loves me is the small little man, which embarrasses me because they make me feel kind of nervous that I'm going to stand on them. burned, kill them or sit on them by accident or whatever. I'd love to get into, say, the mind thing, you know, or really, you know, two minds can meet. But this, I'm as bad as anyone else when it comes to physical size and how they look.
Show me a pillow, Mama. Yeah.
That was so wonderful. Why are we passing on to something? I'm sure it's delicious, but even still.
Oh, this one was too. This one was too close to Maureen. Now it's close to me.
Oh my!
Yes.
Oh wow!
This is us.
I'm not wrong with this. I just don't want them in my mouth.
She doesn't want to have to silk them and chew into them.
No. Now you have to say that wasn't me, Mom.
Oh look, oysters! Oh Jesus, I'm gonna die. Oh look, bulgur wheat. Oh God, how gorgeous! Not with strawberries.
I mean, this is beautiful. Look at the lobster.
Lobster! Oh, I can't believe it.
This is perfect for my diet, seafood, because I see food and I eat it.
Hunger is a sensation that I don't allow myself to feel very often. When I do, and I prepare food for myself, or I buy something and I eat it, the feeling of eating is indescribably good. Do I really like food? Binging makes me unhappy. Because binging to me is not enjoying the food. Binging is satisfying some other need. When I want something, when I want love, when I want success, when I want approval, I wish I would just go to the right place instead of going to the store or the refrigerator or the larder. I know I'm not really getting what I want. That makes me unhappy. It makes me unhappy that I haven't resolved that in my life yet. Makes me unhappy that I still turn to food and use it like a drug, like alcohol, like compulsive shopping. That makes me unhappy. I'm just a slave to it. When I enjoy food for what it is, when I taste it, when I prepare it, when I look at it and take it into my body with love, then I'm happy. Then I'm okay, and it's not about the weight. But when I use it to punish myself, when I use it because I'm not getting what I want, I'm desperate then, and I hate it. I'm very, very angry at myself and angry at the food, and I don't even enjoy it. Then I hate it.
Do you use food as something other than what it is, than to nourish? I saw this fabulous cartoon in the New Yorker magazine. One mouse says to another, "Cheese is only a substitute for the love you never gave me."
But they do say chocolate is, don't they?
I'm an instant gratification type person. If I can't get what I want immediately, be it success or love or reassurance, then I need something else. Now, when I had money, I used to, when I was living abroad, I was making some more money than I am now. I would spend my money, and I'd buy clothes, and I was much thinner because I would put all of that desire for instant gratification into buying clothes, or, you know, going out with lots of different men. That was another pastime of mine. But now that I'm kind of monogamous, not making as much money, what do I turn to? You know, I turn to food.
But it's the other way. I mean, I live on my own, right? So presumably people think I should be living on beans on toast or something. Instead of which I cook myself extremely nice meals, and it's all a sort of form of loving myself. You know, and then the whole thing becomes a sort of akin to masturbation in some way. You know, it's slightly evil.
We're definitely
and I shouldn't
evil.
Be
you and I.
And I shouldn't be doing it. You know, I should be very chaste and wearing flannelette nighties and eating beans on toast. Whereas in fact I'm eating delicious food that I cook for myself and sit down and eat with great pleasure. Particularly, I'm interested in how it looks and how it tastes. And I wear satin nightdresses. I mean, you know, and clearly this is something slightly kinky about this. But, you know, what do you mean you cook for yourself, they say, as though this is some sort of terrible sort of paedophile wickedness that I get up to, for which presumably in a civilised society I'd be put in jail. There's nothing about it. It's about pleasure. It's about loving yourself. It's
you actually take a lot of pleasure in eating. You don't ever just stuff down a whole packet of biscuits or anything.
No. I take great pleasure in eating.
You don't?
I am nervous in food.
You're telling me that three of you have never taken a packet of biscuits and eaten it from start to finish.
I don't like sweet things.
But well, I love sweet things. I have taken chocolates. And I have eaten the chocolates.
My husband died 10 years ago, and I was 33 at the time, with four very young children, ranging from 12 to 2. And in those years, I have put on weight. Some people store food much more effectively than others. That's the unfortunate thing. I would probably, I'd like to think, hangover from the famine, or some sort of Kerry relations instilled in me the genes of storing food. I know my dieting, I have been on diets, and I certainly have been on diets when I was okay. When I think back at it now, I say I must have been mad. But this again, I would have been younger and I wanted to be perfect. I think about 19, I remember getting diet pills from the chemist, and they were brilliant. I mean, I just didn't eat. I was going around like a lunatic. I was a live wire. I was electric. I never stopped talking. I must have bored everyone to death. And I got thinner and thinner. It was quite dangerous because my period stopped. You know? I'm looking back now and saying, goodness, why did I feel the need to go on a diet? And I think I was trying to make myself smaller rather than thinner.
Bottom, and it must be layered with some pesto sauce, which is made of basil, I think. Basil and
courgettes.
Pine nuts and garlic and anchovies and
fresh basil.
Lovely.
Olive oil and
gimme.
Do the men in your lives understand your thing about eating?
If they didn't, how would they be men in their lives?
I think mine at any rate is too understanding. Way too understanding.
Mine is a fairly recent one.
Mine
is a fairly recent one, and it seems to have focused a lot on food, which is unusual for me.
How do you mean you take food to bed with you?
No.
Mom, Maeve didn't say that.
No. Children, I didn't say that. He has cooked for me. Which is an unusual experience for a person who's always cooking for somebody else. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is a real plus that anyone cooks for me.
So he's taking care of you?
He's taking care
of
me.
Can you accept that?
I have a problem, but I mean, I do. But I had seen one afternoon at home a Greta Garbo film, and she took a bunch of grapes and she held them up to her face. And there was this man opposite her, and he was dissolving, and she buried her face into them. Bit them off one by one, and he was in a pool at her feet. So there was I sitting at my friend's dinner table, and there was this bunch of grapes, and I thought, well, now I'm going to try this, seeing as I had really enjoyed the meal, and I said, right. So I took the bunch of grapes, and I buried my face in it, and I started eating them, and then I looked up, and there was this bewildered expression on his face, and he said, I said, is that all right? And he said, I just wonder, are you going to leave me, honey? So the whole thing was wasted. So have things changed since the 30s?
The style has got thinner. That's one of the things.
Well, Garbo was very thin.
But I have this whole theory about sensuality, that women used to be able to be controlled in all sorts of ways, particularly economically. Mm. Now women have... enfranchisement, women are involved in business, women can control their own fertility. So the way to control women is to stop them eating.
Put
so
down that lobster.
I will not put down that lobster.
As she sits there with this ginormous lobster just kind of drying over.
This lobster is an object of desire as far as I'm concerned. This is my liberation.
Eating this.
This lobster is my liberation.
This is my parents would be rotating in their graves, God help them. Oi, she's eating lobster, forget
I'll
it.
Bury this your is, face in this.
This is freedom. This is lack of constraint. This is about what it is to be me. This lobster is not a lobster. This lobster is life. The business about being thin and the stereotype of being thin is about controlling women's consumption. Controlling women's sizes, controlling women's power.
Well, then I have the weirdest partner in the world because he's the only one who cooks in our house and he overfeeds me, the men.
Maybe that's he wants wonderful. To keep you to himself.
Exactly, the okay. very thing.
Right.
The very thing.
Claire, Claire and if you were, do you a couple mind? Have, I don't know, I'm just saying, if you were... stones thinner so that you would look like some of your models. Mm-hmm. Would he be afraid that someone
well,
would come and grab you?
You see, the beauty is that he...
Not that they wouldn't come and grab you right now. No, but because you are incredibly grabbable, Claire, I must say so.
Thank you very much, Susie. But, I mean, this man came into my life when I was much larger than what I am now. I've had portions within... We're 8 years together. I've had portions in that life where I've been 4, 5, 6 stone lighter than what I am now, and he has never changed.
Really?
He is constant, and he feeds me and drools me with all these... He lavishes me completely.
Lucky dog, what are you complaining about?
There are times I've actually got to take him aside and say, please stop. Do you know, don't do this anymore. Which is worrying. Maybe it's the new modern man.
If he gets fed up, send him round.
We'll take your name and address later.
I've always been heavy, and my friends in italics used to call me Claire Magellan Custard, stick your head in mustard. And children, I think, can be extremely cruel, and children can be very hurtful, and they can say things to you that can really get to the point of a problem, and they certainly did in my youth. And growing up all the way through my teens... All the way through, I have always been heavy. It's something I've always experienced my whole life long. I took the ridicule. I took the nasty comments, the funny looks, the funny stares. But I never actually took control of the situation, and I never actually did anything about it for myself.
That's what's exciting. Here is Susie sucking on a lobster claw. And if this isn't sex, I want to know what is. Food is just sensuality. It's taste, it's flavour, it's texture. These oysters that slide down your throat. I can't even talk, I'm so excited. It's food is just erotic. And that's what it is. Beans on toast aren't erotic.
I'm now wiping the drools off your chin.
But this is about what life is about.
Have any of the rest of you suffered like this? That your mum yes. suffered? Your mum handed you a plate as yes. large as your dad's. And then she called you fat afterwards. Yeah. I mean, you know that what else were you supposed to be?
You know that wonderful joke of Alan Sherman's called Why I Am Fat? Mm. He was a child just after the war, and his mother used to say, eat up all your dinner, Alan. Remember all the starving children in Europe.
Yes. We used to get that one.
And he used to eat all the food on his plate, genuinely believing that by eating all his dinner, he was helping the starving children in Europe.
God help us. Yeah. Yeah. But they say that the most sensuous thing a woman can do is to eat in front of a man. It's supposed to be the most intimate thing that
I have
two
just
people
told
can do
you what
together.
Happened to my
I know
grapes.
You and your grapes.
I have just told you.
I remember having a boyfriend.
Had a bad
once.
Experience. So
and mind you, he was much more mature than me. Maybe I should just talk to him now that I come to think of it. But he was a much older man, and he used to buy me chocolate.
Just
to watch me eat it. And whenever we'd be travelling anywhere, he'd buy me a bar of chocolate and sit opposite me in the train and watch me. I remember one Easter, he couldn't buy me an Easter egg big enough. So he bought me 3 of them. Huge, big Easter eggs.
Let me
to
see
watch
you eat
me
something,
eat
Claire.
Them. Certainly, Susie. Are you with this?
Yes.
Now, I do need sauce for this because, I mean, if we're going to do this, let's do this correctly. I mean, this sauce is just divine. Absolutely
let me describe
gorgeous.
Claire for a second. Okay. She is luscious. She is, I'd say she's a bonbon with Grand Marnier liqueur in the centre because she's got this gorgeous, rusty, dusty red hair and this cute little nose and this lush body. She's just, she's luscious.
Can I buy this?
You just heard Dreaming of Fat Man by Lorelei Harris, broadcast by New American Radio.